If you would, begin turning your Bibles to Jude, chapter number 1, as there is only one chapter, verse number 20. If you struggle to preach after that, you're in big trouble. Glory, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. And I did not clarify, are we streaming live tonight? Really doesn't matter either way. I guess I'll be fine. Any head nod? Anybody scream at me? All righty, we're live. It's okay. The nature of the nation that we've been ministering in now for the past 3 years, lived there 2 years, is changing as we go. We've had liberty for some time, so I'm just kind of becoming more and more aware we should probably be careful what we say, how we say it. We'll continue to make those adjustments. But I feel confident right here in Tennessee we'll be okay for one night. Amen. And as I was watching back, looking at their furlough update video, considering what great things God hath done, oftentimes in my mind, as I see those kids, as I see the adults that we had an opportunity to meet one-on-one, to see face-to-face, to shake their hands, to begin to know them as not just someone who's passing by, but someone who becomes a friend. I am ever reminded that most of them had never heard of Jesus one time. He was a foreign concept. Yohana chapter number 14 in verse number 6, and they would say in Hindi, Yeshu ne use kaha marg or satya or jivan mehi hun. Bina mere dwara koi pita ke pas nahin pahunch sakta. Now that simply means, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's the problem with the nation which we are currently ministering in. They feel that if you are a sincere Christian, they feel that if you are a sincere Muslim, a sincere Buddhist, they don't care if you believe in nothing, but that if you are sincere, that you're going to reap the good life or bad life that you have lived, and that you are going to come back again one day until you reach that perfect place of nirvana and go to become one with the universe. Well, we understand the Bible specifically and clearly tells us what? Jesus Christ is the only way unto eternal life. And it is the message that we go to share to that nation and to that people group. When you're living amongst 25 million people in one city, I want you to understand that it can become just as routine, it can become just as mundane as living in the rural country when you're passing by people in the Walmart or going by them at the McDonald's and you're not seeing a soul, you're not seeing an eternity, you're not seeing someone in light of eternity. And as we spent more time in that big city, as we spent more time in that nation, it was having to beg God to begin to move in our hearts and our lives to be stirred up about His business and what He is doing, not just in India, not just in Delhi, but all over the world. I believe as we look and consider missions, we consider the Great Commission, the work that God has called us to do, the apathy has absolutely taken over who we are. We are seeing the spirit today in America, an absolute spirit of Antichrist. We see a whole generation of people who are pure in their own eyes, who are pure in their own ways, that are rejecting the true in the living God. Now, God has called this generation of people, this generation of saints, to reach this generation of sinners. And it is that we've been tasked to reach out into the millennials, to reach out into Generation Z and to Generation X with the good news that God has imparted on us as we earnestly contend for the faith that Jude references to today. It's often become a part of our Christian culture to talk about what? Revival. Revival. We want missionaries to go into the regions beyond. When you consider the work that took place in Wales, as the ladies were singing this morning, that song is a song that speaks to my heart, as I consider love vast as the ocean, because I think of what great love in the blood that my Savior shed for me and for all the world. I believe it was Annie Davis. She came on the scene in the Welsh revival and would sing that song oftentimes where souls were ushered in to the family of God as people were born again and lives were changed. They would lift up their voice, and a great revival was wrought in that time in the southern portion of England, there in Wales, missionaries were sent out. Pastors and preachers and laymen were raised up. They turned their communities upside down. And we look today in 2021, and we have some ideology of what we think God needs. We have some ideology of what we think the church needs. But what I think we need a revival in is a revival back to prayer. Every missionary that travels around gives out what, church family? Prayer cards. And prayer cards are a wonderful thing. On deputation, I used to joke around and I'd say, hey, if you still got your sweetheart's picture on your dash in your car because you love her so much, man, take her out of the way, put my prayer card there, and you think of me every single day. Don't do that. She'll hate you, but you might love me. Amen. I'm just kidding. But prayer cards, they're what? You see, I found that a dollar bill gets missionaries to a foreign field. It'll pay for a home. It'll provide a lease. It'll get them a vehicle. It'll get them through language school. Disclaimer in my video, if you could see my language class there, you see a little can in the background. That was a Red Bull. Language did not drive me to drinking, although it was very close. I'm kidding. The prayer card, what? It's prayer that's going to keep a missionary on the field. When God stirs your heart, when God moves in your mind and specifically prompts you for Brother Gasway, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I'm doing at that specific place in time, but I'd encourage you, pray, because you don't know how discouraged, how disgusted, how despondent that individual may be. That goes for one another. Praying for one another, praying for a pastor, praying for our leadership, praying for our community. But it is a revival back to prayer that I believe our churches need. What is revival? What does that even mean? It is a turning back to obedience to God, returning back to full obedience to God. How do we obey God? How do we know His will? How do we know His work? Where do we find it at, church family? In His Word. If I go to India and I walk away and all those Indians behind me say, well, Pastor Gasway says, Brother Gasway says, Missionary Gasway says, I will have failed them absolutely. But if I come and I get them rooted and grounded in the Word changes not forever. His Word is in heaven. His Word is the bread of life and it is the fountain of living waters. I can leave behind something that afar at last outlast me. And it's through prayer, it's through God's Word, turning back to obedience in Him according to His Word, that we find an effectual Christian life that begins to grow us. Jude chapter number 1, verse number 20, the Bible says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, the faith, the whole premise of our Christian existence, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and coming again, our hope for tomorrow, our reason of hope that we share daily, and our ministry of reconciliation, praying in what? The Holy Ghost. I'd like to take just a few moments, and I want to deal with the subject of prayer that keeps the missionary. Prayer that keeps the missionary. And I believe this is something that you can apply to your own life. I can indefinitely say that when I crossed over the big pond, got 8,000 miles away from everything I had ever loved and owned, I had some real aha moments. As I'm sitting in the middle of 25 million people and the temperature's not what I like and the clear sky isn't just as clear as I like and every little single thing began to get on my nerves and you begin to feel the pressures coming in. You feel like you're struggling in the language. I would literally, outside my language school, there was a little park, and I'd walk around a little bitty roundabout in the morning hours before I'd get there. And one thing about me, I like to be punctual. I don't know who instilled that in my life, but somebody did. So I'd normally get there about 30 minutes early. And I'd walk around that park, and I'd beg God, give me that language. I'd beg Him, Lord, You've got to do something because this is killing me. And it was in those moments that God began to deal with me as, son, you've got to give it all. You've got to give it all. You've got to empty yourself. You've got to surrender yourself. And this is only going to be done through the aspect, through the avenue of prayer. And I begin to beg God for the language. I begin to beg God for a heart for the people. I begin to beg God for more compassion when I realized I could not do it on my own. One man said it this way, the church needs less players and more prayers. Less
agonizers, or less organizers and more agonizers. Ian Bounds said what the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but when men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but He anoints men. Men of prayer, women of prayer. It is prayer that maintains our personal life. It's prayer that protects our private time. And it's prayer that prepares us for the public limelight. It doesn't matter if we're in leadership or just a faithful church member. Prayer is the very integral of all that we are. In our Christian walks, we should have some very basic holy habits. You can call them pillars. You can call them holy habits. And they are very simple or very complex, however you want to look at it. Number one, read your Bible. Read your Bible every single day. Number two, we should witness continually. You know what? As you read your Bible, you find out you learn about God. As you learn about God, you come to know God. As you read about Him and come to know Him, you start sharing others about Him. Read your Bible, witness continually, and pray every day. And what's the little kid's song say? You'll grow, grow, grow. What is the most difficult thing to do in the Christian walk? Pray. I don't understand it. It is a spiritual exercise. It's almost like running. It's the last thing our bodies want to do. How many of you here are allergic to running or physical? What you find out is when you start, you get short of breath. You get redness of face. You begin to perspire. And you say, these are adverse side effects that I don't want to be dealing with. This running must be bad for me. How many of us find that when we go to prayer, Holy Communion, conversation with God, that suddenly our mind begins to wander. Suddenly we get very effective in our personal life and routine. We remember every single thing that we have to do. The to-do list begins to check off in our minds. We began to wander away from the One who is the very wonder and glory of our life. What is prayer? Prayer is, in its simplest definition, I think we can look at Genesis chapter number 4. Don't turn there. Verse number 26 talks about in the days of Seth that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I think that's the simplest biblical definition of prayer. But I think we could say very simply, it's talking to God. But without prayer, our lives are empty, vain, and hollow. We have no efficacy in our ministry. We have no effectiveness in our witness. We'll find ourselves powerless before men when it comes to sharing the truths of God, which is why I believe that Jude was absolutely admonishing and edifying the people here in verse number 20. If you want to build up yourself in your holy faith, you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Prayer that keeps the missionary, prayer that keeps you. One who does not keep himself in prayer will lose everything. Three very simple aspects, very simple topics or little seasons of prayer that I believe that we can apply in our lives. Number one, we should have an entrance into prayer. Ask yourself, do I pray every day? Now, I'm not talking about God is great, God is good, let's thank Him for our food. Cootie Brown's is good, my public endorsement, amen. Jerk chicken, it was phenomenal. My kids love the name on top of that. Praying for a wonderful thing. Now, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I don't know what all that's talking about. I like sleep. I'm glad the Lord has me in the palm of His hand. There's no one that can separate me from Him. Our prayer life should extend further than that. I think daily we should realize that we have a privilege of prayer. You'll find that the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when they are wandering around in a desert and Moses is speaking to God as face to face and friend to friend, that at times they denied the very right to pray. They said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. Quite frankly, He scares us to death, but we want You to talk for us. And we'll follow whatever You say. How well did that work? Moses tried to mediate. Moses tried to intercede. And I think in his own way, he effectively did so. But those people's hearts were prone to wandering. The psalm says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I think daily as we wake up, it should be our first habit to begin to come into God's presence, the entrance of prayer. As we enter into His presence, I think number one, there should be recognition. Recognize who we are. We say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and that's true. But beloved, I want you to understand, you're more than a sinner. You're more than a worm. You're more than a wretch and a ruin. You are God's child. You've been adopted into His family. You have cried, Abba, Father. Jesus' blood has been applied to your account. You are justified. You have been reckoned righteous in the sight of a thrice holy God. Yes, you are His servant. You are His soldier. But I want you to understand today that you are His son and that you are His daughter. Don't belittle yourself before God. Don't pump up yourself before God. Recognize who you are. Die to yourself. Die to your infirmities. And then after recognition, I believe there should be that admission. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we that you can have mercy and grace in the time of need. Now, why is it that we can come boldly? I believe it's Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 18 and chapter number 3 and verse number 12 says that we have access into His presence. Why is that? We can come with confidence and we can come by faith because of our relationship and our position in Him. We have admission to come boldly before our Heavenly Father. I have three beautiful daughters over here. Pastor kind of told part of the truth. I think our kids are pretty good at lunch, considering all things. I'll take it. Amen. But somewhere, my children always find it very hard to wait patiently for Daddy to end conversations. Or if Daddy's studying, you know what they do. And you've heard the old cliche illustrations. They come right up to Daddy. Why? I'm Daddy. They know that Daddy loves them. They know that Daddy is probably going to help them, and they're hoping that Daddy will not rebuke them. We have that same admission before God that we can come boldly before Him and receive grace in the time of need. Recognize who you are. Admission into His presence. Confession. Confessing your heart. John chapter 15 and verse number 3 says that we are made clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Jesus speaking to His disciples as He goes on to say that He is the vine. We are the branches. Let the Word have free course in our heart. Reading the Word, allowing it to cleanse us, to create in us a clean and a right heart. John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our heart before Him while we have been told, grieve not the Spirit. Yeah, how many times do we go throughout the day and we're juggling the burden and we're juggling the brokenness of our broken condition, trying to bear the weight of our own sins rather than casting our cares and our concern upon Him. Psalm 51, David said, wash me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 talks of the effects of sin. Our sin separates us from God. Psalm 66:18 says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, that He'll not hear us. You know, when you're living 8,000 miles away from everything you've ever known, you'll find that stuff begins to mound up very quickly. It's death by a thousand cuts. As every single fault and failure of our life begins to build up until we're finally driven to our knees to say, God, I can't do it on my own. But Lord, I know I've got access into Your presence. Lord, I know I have resurrection power, the Bible says, dwelling inside of me. And it's Jesus Christ confession, allowing God to know, hey, I know my shortcomings, I know my faults, but Lord, I know who you are. Recognize who you are. Admission into his presence. Confession of your heart. Getting that clean with God. Submission before him. And Proverbs 23:26 said, my son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Joshua 24:15 said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. And that's taking each and every single day, dedicating and consecrating yourself unconditionally, irrevocably, unreservedly unto him. You know what you're doing? You're building up yourself in your most holy faith. The disciples made one request of Jesus. They made many, but they made a few specific ones that are ever etched in my mind. Lord, teach us to pray. As John the Baptist also taught his disciples to pray. Lord, increase our faith, John 17 and verse number 5. And I think that should ever be the prayers upon our lips. Lord, teach me to pray. God, increase my faith that I can do your will and your work. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many of us find that very hard to do? Oh, I like Jordan. You know, sometimes I think Jordan's awesome. I think sometimes he's got great ideas. He's got great ambitions. I think that sometimes he has things put together. And time and time and time again, God has to constantly remind me, slow down, shut up, be still and know that I am God. Taste and see that I am good. Trust in me. Follow me. Seek me in thy word. Oh, we need to stop and come into his presence and just realize what a wonderful privilege of prayer we have. Prayer that keeps the missionary. That's getting us right. Getting us right to come into prayer. I want to see, firstly, petitioning in prayer. Now, a petition is something very simple. It's just a formal request. And these are some things that you can pray specifically for the missionary on the field. I don't know if we understand this, but there are many missionaries coming off the field as they are going to the field. In the past year, we have seen, and I'm talking, and when I say, a lot of times God moves us, does he not? He orders our steps. He establishes our goings. But sometimes we're having people are coming off the field or they're coming out of ministry and they're not landing anywhere else. They're out of church today. They're not reading God's word faithfully. They're not praying. They're not fellowshipping. They have absolutely fallen by the wayside. And petitioning and prayers, this formal request, we begin to hold up one another to encourage and to edify, to build one another up. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 2 says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what? Believing ye shall receive. Jesus Christ said, be it done according to what? Thy faith. Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God. The apostle Paul said in Acts 27:25, I believe God. Now, what are our prayer lives centered around? How long do we spend time with God? Petitioning in prayer. I think that as we pray generally, we find that God answers generally. But when we pray specifically, God answers specifically. Now, many of you probably receive missionary updates via email. Some of you may read the prayer letters as they come in. I'm not for sure. You don't have to sit down and get down and take 15, 20 minutes praying for a missionary. But sometimes I'm going through my inbox, and I have friends and different ones that send me. I ain't got time to read them all. I'm sure pastors, some of you men in here, you probably got 400 emails that come in. But as I go through and I'm deleting, I'm clearing them out, I click on them to let them know, hey, it's been looked at. Now I'll pray. If I see something specifically, I'll pray. I don't know how effective that prayer is, amen, but I know how effective the one is of whom I'm praying to. Pray to him. Bring that formal request before God. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will, what? Answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God was charging, he was challenging Jeremiah, I will show you how great I am. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us we can cast all our care upon him, petitioning in prayer for the missionary. I want to say firstly, pray for their family. Pray for their family. The missionary man is only as good as the missionary woman. The husband's only as good as the wife. She is not the weak link, but sometimes she is the most critical link. She is the one who supports that man. She's the one that encourages that man. She's the one that's with him every single day. She's the one that can openly confess how awesome he is not. She's the one that's with him every single day. She's the one with him every single night. She's the one that weeps with him and cries with him and glories with him and gets to experience the highlights and the lowlights of ministry. Pray for the children. I'm at a stage in life with my kids. They are 3, 5, and 9. They're awesome. They're happy-go-lucky. They're adaptable. They're adjustable. They are just as fine. They love India. They're looking forward to getting back there. They're looking forward to the plane ride. They like all of it. They want to get back to their friends. My oldest, we drug out of the airport kicking, screaming, and crying almost because she did not want to leave her friends. We want that. Pray for those children. I pray every single day for my kids. God, save them. By the grace of God, he saved my oldest daughter, February of last year. Glory, Delhi, India, ever have a special place in my heart. God, save them, seal them, separate them, sanctify them, give them a godly young man. How many of us understand there's not many of those out there? Hey, God sends a godly young man my way. I'm not going to threaten him. Maybe just a little bit. I want to kill him somewhat. But I thank God for him. Hey, it's my girls. I'm going to take care of them. And I don't want to push my children into anything. But I'm begging God, God, give them a godly help me. Do something in their life. Pray for the family of the missionaries. Pray for them specifically. Encouragement. Pray that the Lord order their steps and guide them. Hey, homeschooling, it's a blast. I'm kidding. It's troubling. It's awesome. It's rewarding. It's all those wonderful things. All the responsibilities that the family has. Pray as God lays it on your heart. Praying in the Holy Ghost means allowing the Holy Spirit to what? Guide us. Is he not our teacher? Is he not our comforter? Does he not bring things to our thoughts and our mind? Pray for the families. Pray for the church families that they are ministering amongst and that they are leading. Pray for the local communities that they are dealing with. You can never tell. There might be one key to an entire community. If that missionary can just make that contact and lead them to Christ, it may turn an entire area upside down. Pray for the leadership within that missionary's ministry. Pray for more laborers. Now, I'm not just talking about laborers to come from America, but laborers to be raised up from within the nation that they're ministering in. It's our prayer that we'll provide, and we're already working towards producing an environment of leadership and laborers that everyone can get engaged in and have a part in God's work, petitioning for the missionary, bringing those very specific formal requests before the Lord. And then pray personally for the missionary. I want to say this is a little different than what it would be than the petitions. I'd say number one, if you're writing this down, pray for the way. Pray for the way of the missionary, that they will follow him, that they will follow God, that they will keep to God's word. It breaks my heart, and unfortunately, I can begin to list many examples of men who were in ministry in the past decade who are completely out and broken today. Pray that God would direct thy path, direct their paths. Pray that God would give them direction within ministry. Ministry has many ties, and ministry holds many strings, and many of you know this, whether it be financial responsibility, whether it be church policy, how things are organized, how things are structured. A missionary sometimes is a carpenter. I'm not a very good one. Sometimes a missionary is a choir director. I heard it said one time that it's often been said of good preachers that they're good singers. I'm a bad singer, so I'll let you put that together. Amen. Missionary has to wear many hats. Pray that God will direct their way. Pray that God will lead them in the war. There's a very real fight. And I want to say this, my enemy in India is not a national. My enemy in India is right here, right in between my ears, and it is the wicked one. And I want to say this, he's wily. He's been at it for over 6,000 years. He's gotten quite well in his guerrilla warfare. Pray that God has strengthened them. I believe it's Psalms chapter number 18 where David said, Lord, teach my hands to war. Give my arms the strength to break the steel bow of the enemy. Oh, that we can run through the troop and leap over the wall. It is that we want to follow hard after God. That though we be faint, may we still be pursuing. Pray for the missionary's way. Pray for him in the war. And pray for the work, the field. We're looking for a conducive field that we have cultivated faithfully, planted the good seed of the gospel, and prayed that God would send the early and the latter rain, that there may be fruit that remains. It's been said that William Carey, Adoniram Judson, so many of these guys, they labored for 5 and 6 and 7 years before they ever saw fruit. It is that we want to see something more substantial than that. Grateful for what was done in days gone by. Grateful what was done in 1792 when William Carey arrived there on that mission field. But that's over 200 years ago. Dearly beloved, I'm looking at what God can do in the 21st century. I simply believe that God's alive. He's available. He's aflame. He's afoot. The Word's still effectual. It's still saving lives. We still hold the Word of truth. And God is ever working and through us, and God will do more through us than He'll ever do to us. And I'm just praying simply and begging humbly that God will do something through us in this day, in this dispensation. Oh, pray personally for the missionary, the way, the war, the work. And then lastly, take time. Pause in prayer. So it's prayer that keeps the missionary. Prayer that keeps... Just ask God. Maybe you can do this 5, 10 minutes. I don't know what it works for you. God, how can I pray specifically? Maybe you've got a whole stack of... You can't pray over all the missionaries that come through here. I understand that. God, how? How can I pray for somebody in here? Lord, direct me. Lord, show me. Just listen. Be still and know that He is God. Oh, I'm telling you, a still, small voice. God still speaks. It may not be audible, but He speaks through His Word. He'll speak to your heart. Allow Him to direct you in prayer. Waiting, watching, listening. It's been said that prayer is the nerve that moves the hand of God. Pray, church family. Our spiritual lives depend on it. The spiritual lives of missionaries, church laborers alike, they all depend on it. Pray. Our society depends on it. Pray. Lost souls depend on it. If we are to occupy till He comes, we should be occupying our time in much prayer, praying without ceasing, praying everywhere, effectual and fervent prayer that availeth much. Why sit we here till we die, till we can get down on bended knee, praying to God in heaven? Get out in the gospel fields. Tell someone about the good news. We're living in an atmosphere of people that are heavy-hearted, that are sorrowful of spirit. They are scared to death. They are confused. They don't know up from down, down from up, and they simply need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He died a suffering death. He resurrected, praise God, on the third day. He is coming with life and liberty to all whom believe. We love His appearing. We look for it daily. We have a reason of hope, church. I mean, pray, pray, pray. Amen. Pray that God, building up ourselves and our most holy faith, have faith in God, said Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I believe God. He went on to say, quoting from the Old Testament text, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Lord, increase our faith. Prayer that keeps the missionary. Prayer that keeps you. Do you pray? Do you commit it daily in a season of silence to talk to God? I wonder if you're here tonight and you've never prayed the prayer of salvation. You know, salvation is not in a prayer. It's not in a program. There's nothing you can do, no action you can do. Salvation is a person. His name is Jesus. If you've never prayed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never realized your lost, sinful condition, tonight could be the night that you can give your heart and your life to the Lord, that you can receive peace, that you can receive hope, that you can receive forgiveness and eternal life. Well, I wonder, is your prayer life what it should be? Do you pray for the missionaries? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you talk to God? Revival. We need a revival back to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You so humbly tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be here, to be in this sacred house of worship. Lord, we pray for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Father, considering the great things you've done here, the very rich history of this church body, the faithfulness of its lay members, its pastors, leadership, God, as they continue to press forward in this day, regardless of the hardships that come, I cannot help but believe, Lord, this has been done on the knees of many men and women united together, calling upon your name. Lord, I believe with all my heart that there are some here today. They're hungering and thirsting after the righteousness. They're desirous to be filled. They are seeking you, Lord, with all their heart, soul, and spirit. Lord, I pray, may the Holy Spirit brood over us, Lord. May He work in our hearts. Set us aflame, O God, that we may seek after you. May we not back down. May we not back away. Lord, may we not be still. May we not let India go untouched with the gospel. May we not let New Zealand to reside idle when so many young people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Six continents, Father, across the globe, over 3 billion people don't have a copy of God's word. They have no gospel witness. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd stir in our hearts, God. Draw us unto yourself. May we seek you while you shall be found, Father. You're available, Lord. You said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And may we as a people unite together, praying, seeking your face, Father, ever spending time with you, that you can radically change us, that we can go out and share the good news that radically changes lost man. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pastor.
As Miss Carmen begins to play, I'm going to ask you to stand together. And if God has put a burden on your heart, once again, to be a prayer, I challenge you. Make a commitment there in your seat. Come to this altar. Whichever one God would lead you to do. But you've heard a burden from a burdened man. And he's somebody who needs to have people put feet on the prayers. And that is, or put action to the need, and that I should say, and that is to pray. We cannot go to India. God has not called us. He's called this one. We may not be able to go and pave the way, but we know God who does, who can go and pave the way. So I challenge you, if the Lord has burdened you tonight to be a prayer, as all of us should, I challenge you to commit it to Him tonight. This altar is open for you. You're welcome to pray here. You're welcome to pray there in your seat, saying, Lord, I will have a more fervent prayer life. I will be going to you on behalf of different people. And then lastly is this, he mentioned that you may be here tonight, not sure you're saved. My friend, Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely one, the perfect, sinless Son of God, came down the cross for you. If you're here tonight, not sure that you've ever received Him as your Savior, turn to Him from your sins, I challenge you to come tonight. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Would you step out and come? I want to do something. She continued to play. I'd like to do something. You know, I like to be very practical. And here's a missionary who needs our prayers. I'm going to ask Brother Dan, do you have your microphone there? If you take it back to Danny Jenkins, Danny waved to us back there. It's over there on the seat. Danny, one of our deacons, I'm going to ask you, Danny, to start us in prayer, praying for the Gazaways. Pray for the mom, Brother Jordan, his wife, their three girls, whatever God lays on your heart to pray. And if we have one more, Daniel, we'll give to Larry Trent here. And we're going to put action to what we get preached about around here. And so as these men pray, I want you to pray. This family is God. They've gone the distance. They're going to serve God. But our church, we start tonight being behind them in prayer. So as they pray out loud, I want all of us to pray in agreement with them that the Lord would bless and protect, guide, lead, provide for, whatever these men pray, that He would minister to the Gazaway family. So, Brother Danny, why don't you start, and then when he gets done, Larry, then you close, and then we'll all close for this evening.
Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your love. We thank you, dear God, for your provision for us. And Lord, we've heard this man tonight pour out his heart, God, to pour out his vision for the country of India. And God, we just pray, Lord, that through your provision, through your mercy, dear Lord, you'll provide for him and his family. God, that you'll give him fruit for the labor there, Lord. And Father, that you'll lead him in every way that you want him to go. Father, whatever it is that you have for him there in India, Lord, may he able to do it through you, through the blessed word of God. Father, I pray for your hand of protection upon his family. Dear God, for everything, Lord, that they encounter, may you be there with them. We thank you again, Lord, for this day and for him coming our way. And God, may we never fail to pray for the missionaries. In Jesus' name we ask it.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we know we never pray enough. And Lord, but we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of our missionaries, supporting our missionaries. And God, I thank you, Lord, for this family here that's committed themselves to serve in a foreign country, Lord, in India. Lord, I pray that you'll just touch them, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, as they go back on this field, Lord. And I pray that you'll just put your arms around them and your protection and your love and let them feel your presence, Lord, each and every day. And Lord, we just pray you'll use them, Lord, in this country and just touch them, Lord, and everything they do, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done for us, that you died on that cross and shed your blood. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to serve you better. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May look this way. I count a great privilege to be in church tonight, and I want to thank you for being here as well. It's a great crowd, and I want you, before you leave, to, if you can, get by the Gazways table and fellowship with them and tell them you'll be praying for them, get a prayer card. But not only them, then fellowship with some others as well. It's a beautiful night out there. We went ahead and changed the clocks a week or two ago for you, so you got an extra hour in the evening. I just wanted to do a little something for you, so you're welcome. But I hope that you don't rush out. Fellowship. You know, one of these days will be the last Sunday night we all spend together. Very well could be this one. I don't know anything like that, but it very well could be. And I trust that we don't take lightly this idea of church and the church family, because it wasn't a man's idea. Gene Lassie didn't come up with it. Somebody else before him, Titus Lane. It was God's idea. He said, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And he wants us to do that. There's great benefits. And so I challenge you to find some folks you haven't talked to for a little while, fellowship one with another. As Brother Gazway mentioned, bear one another's burden, pray for one another, and trust that you'll come or you'll spend a little time with that. And then the last thing is this. Thank you for being faithful in giving. I have no idea what people give. I know what one family gives, and that's the Herdman family. But I don't know what everybody else gives, but I see the total. And I want to thank you for being faithful. I don't preach much about it. I don't push, of course. But I see the offering at the end. I see the total. And we are given past this church. We're given to God. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your tithes, and thank you for being faithful in your offerings and following the Lord. And I don't notice. So you can't do it for that reason because it's useless. But we do know that we give to the Lord. I just want to say thank you for that, and thank you for being faithful in that. And when the Lord nudges you, I trust that you just continue to be faithful in obedience, and then offerings above that. And so just want to share those couple things. God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Stars through the perilous fight, o'er the